Good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call of Nirlon Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Hina Khatri from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Hina Khatri from Valorem Advisors. We represent investor relations for Nirlon Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and first half of the financial year 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for the opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Rahul Sagar, Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director, Mr. Manish Parekh, Chief Financial Officer, VP Finance, Mr. Jasmine K. Bhausar, Company Secretary, Vice President, Legal and Compliance Officer, and Mr. Ashish Bardia, VP Business Development and Investor Relations, Nirlon Management Services Private Limited. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rahul Sagar to start with his opening remarks, followed by financial and operational highlights of the company. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our earnings conference call to discuss the performance of the second quarter and first half of the financial year 2026. Let me first take you through the financial performance of the company. For the second quarter, the company reported a total income of 169 crores, which grew by approximately 4% year-on-year. EBITDA was reported at rupees 133 crores, which grew by approximately 2% year-on-year. And EBITDA margin stood at 78.69%. Profit after tax for the quarter was 148 crores, with PAT margins at 87.45%. For the first half of the financial year 2026, the company reported a total income of rupees 336 crores, which grew by around 5% year-on-year. The EBITDA was reported at rupees 265 crores, representing 5% growth year-on-year. EBITDA margins were about 78.83%. Profit after tax for the first half stood at around rupees 206 crores and PAT margin stood at 61.36%. The growth in PAT for the quarter and the first half is not comparable to earlier periods as the company has decided to move to new tax regime for FY26 and Q2 FY26 from Q2 FY26 onwards. Accordingly, tax expense for Q2 FY26 and 6 month period and the 6 month period ended September 30th, 2025 is based on the new concessional tax rate. The company has also remeasured opening deferred tax liability and reversed rupees 69.5 crores in the current quarter. On the operational front, the average occupancy rate for the company as a whole, comprising NKP and Nirlon House, stood at 98.6% for the quarter. As of 30th September 2025, approximately 20,000 square feet area was vacant at NKP and Nirlon House combined. During the quarter, approximately 260,000 square feet has been licensed and taken up by Deutsche Bank, Barclays, MUFG, Citi and EY. Additionally, the final dividend of ₹11.110% per share for FY25 was paid as approved by the shareholders in the AGM. Lastly, before we move on to the Q&A session, we would also like to briefly inform you that there has been no further update regarding any restructuring plan. Hence, we would appreciate if the focus, of the questions on this conference call are about the operations and the financials of a quarter under review. We assure you that as and when any definitive decision is taken on these matters, we will inform our shareholders. With this, we conclude our opening remarks and open the floor to questions. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning to your team and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my first question is on the side of on license side. So you have mentioned that you have licensed 260,000 square feet in quarter two. So could you help us understand how the achieved rentals on this new deal is compared with the average rentals of your existing portfolio? And by continuing this question, so for the remaining 20,000 square feet vacant area, so what are the expected timelines for full occupancy and are we seeing any changes in the tenant performance in compared to larger floor plates versus smaller?
Okay, hi. So thank you for the question. So essentially the 260,000 square feet that was licensed is really some of the space that was vacated by Morgan Stanley. And this has been licensed at fairly competitive rates to existing occupiers as well as essentially to existing occupiers. We also want to add that the gap, the actual gap in the time period between Morgan Stanley vacating and the new licensees coming in has been not very substantial as well. The rates are also, we feel, fairly competitive and going in the right direction. So all in all, we feel that this 260,000 square feet, approximately 260,000 square feet that has been licensed was a fairly positive development. The gaps of the actual vacancies were not very significant, as well as the rates, which were fairly positive, and some of them with annual escalations as well, which is very important for us. So that's really the summary of this space that was licensed. To answer your question on the vacant space, some part of this is in NKP and some part of this is in Lawn House. The part of this in NKP really has already been discussed and finalized, and it's only a question of documentation, etc., etc., which has also been discussed and finalized, as we said, at fairly competitive rates, what we feel, and you will see the effect of this in Q3. So it's really some part of the Lawn House which has a few vacancies, not really NKP. We just want to clarify that. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. The second question is on the, I just wanted an understanding view of the Goregaon micro market. So based on the current market rentals in Goregaon micro markets, so what is the management's internal view on the rental upside potential during the larger renewal cycle come maybe in FY27, FY28 going forward?
Generally, we feel that the demand is fairly positive now. Especially the GCC demand is fairly positive. As you know, our vacancies are very, very low and very marginal. So we do feel that there should be consistent demand in 25, 26, 26, 27, etc. But to the extent we will only really be able to get into the details of this issue if we have significant vacancies. If we don't have significant vacancies, which is the situation now, and we are contracted with these existing licenses for the next 5 years, etc., then it's not so significant for us, the micro market demand at this point, because of our existing situation with practically plus minus 1% or 0% vacancies. We do want to say that all contracted escalations, some of which now are annuals, which is very, very important, are happening. And essentially, as per the licenses, are happening as per the commercial terms and conditions contracted. So nothing very significant to say on that front as well, due to the very high levels of occupancy. Thank you.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll jump in with you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mohit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. I hope my voice is audible.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. So, just a few questions on the vacant space, actually. I just wanted to know how much vacant space available as of today in the company, and what is the expected timelines, you know, with ongoing discussion with clients. So this vacant space will be.
So we can really say, frankly, that in NKP there is no real vacant space at all, because the some part of the 20,000, approximately 10,000 square feet of the 20,000, is already under discussion, has been discussed, etc., etc. And also in Milan House, a large part of the existing 9,000 or 10,000 vacant space that has been mentioned, some part of that, a significant part of that, is in the basement as well. So really, there's nothing much to say in terms of the timelines as far as NKP or Milan House is concerned. As I said, NKP, this final 10,000 square feet is part of a larger transaction, and it should be concluded. The documentation should be concluded very, very shortly. So, no real vacancy as such at all.
Okay. Just one follow-up question. Like, historically, what has been the retention rate at NKP, and how quickly the vacant space, you know, typically get released?
So the when you mean retention, you mean
the occupancy.
Yeah. So essentially, from inception, we can say that only two large licensees have left. One was purely for commercial reasons. One which was there in phase one for 9 to 10 years was purely for commercial reasons, and the other one was unfortunately because of lack of space in NKP for growth. So there are only two cases of licensees having left, and retention is fairly positive as we know.
Okay. Just one last question.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Just one last question on the, concentration risk only. Just as you said, in the NKP, we have only had only two clients leaving us because of some expansion issues. So just wanted to know, like, how does the company plan to reduce this tenant risk and attract more diversified tenant base going forward?
Well, I mean, you know, if you look at the profile of the licensees now in NKP, the profile is fairly positive, the balance sheets are fairly strong, so we don't really want to get into situations where we need to diversify the user profile for the sake of it. If we feel we have strong balance sheets for the majority or all of the licensees, and we don't really want to change that for the sake of changing purely for diversification. The actual actual Z1 license periods are approximately 5 years/9 years, and unless we see any significant issues or we face any significant problems, we don't want to get into any changes for the sake of it. So, yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll join up in the
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satinder Singh from Eon Infotech Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity.
And
congratulations for great operating excellence, as always. On Nirlon House, any progress in terms of moving forward on that?
Nothing that we can say very significantly. When we do have something, of course, we will keep you informed at the earliest. Thank you.
Okay. And what is the annual run rate of repair capex that we have? So, for example, for 2H FY26 and the full FY27, what is the kind of repair capex that we are looking at for NKP?
Approximately 30 crores per annum.
So approximately 30 crores per annum.
Okay. And what is the latest rate that we are typically marketing NKP? I understand the area is hardly there, but what's the typical going rate at NKP? And do we see any going forward, any threat, while we understand that this location is very different and because of its proximity to BKC, but given that there's a lot of supply coming up in the Navi Mumbai area at half or less than half the rates, do you expect that to have some sobering effect? Because where the space is available at about 80 bucks, we are at about 180. So any long-term threat you see, while we understand the markets are not, micro markets are not really comparable?
We're always identifying potential risks with regard to issues concerning supply and demand as well. Not just in the micro areas, as you said, but also in the other locations in Mumbai as well as outside of Mumbai. So, that is an ongoing exercise that we are looking at, and we monitor that very carefully. While we understand that NKP as on date occupancies are high and demand is also fairly positive, to answer your question, we very carefully evaluate the various risks in terms of reduction in the demand, increase in the supply, etc. And we like to be aware of these to the best extent possible, get into the details of various of this issue. So, apart from actually looking at the existing situation in the other micro areas as well as in the other cities and monitoring that very carefully, there's not much we can do. We also, of course, want to keep increasing the rate per square foot in NKP, which we believe has gone in the right direction and has shown consistent increases over the past few years as well. So yes, that's really what we would say. There's not much we can do except look at the situation very carefully and identify any potential risks of reduction in demand and increases in supply, which is quite a natural phenomenon in any business actually. So we have to be ready and prepared for that as and when it occurs.
Okay, and regarding the dividends, I think it has been our kind of almost stated policy to pay out all excess cash as dividend after providing for any contingency. Now that our the park is stabilized, there's no new construction, And with this moving to the a new tax regime, the tax implications will come down. So should that normally translate into a higher dividend, assuming that that same dividend policy of paying out all excess is maintained? Is that a reasonable expectation?
Essentially, we will, of course, look at the potential effects and the benefits, if any, of this new tax regime which we have adopted in from Q2 2026. And without doubt, the company will endeavor to maximize its distribution to shareholders using a surplus cash flow after providing prudently for contingency. So yes, we will look at very carefully the effects of this change in the moving to the new tax regime, and really, as always, we would like to use the advantages, if any, in the next few quarters to benefit the shareholders to the best extent possible. So yes, that's something we are very aware of and we are looking at very carefully, as you can imagine. Thank you.
Okay. Sir, and like in the previous calls, it was indicated that we have actually time till September 26 to decide on the tax regime because it is for the financial year FY26, because till 25 anyway we had matched to mitigate the effects of the higher tax. So now is this frozen? Is this decision on the tax regime frozen, or is it that there could be some developments in the next 2, 3, 4 quarters till September 26, which still could lead to a change in heart, okay, in terms of the tax regime, or is it kind of now frozen thing?
Well, I mean, for the year 25-26, we have to file the return in September 26, for which we have to start finalizing in approximately May 2026. So, of course, theoretically and practically as well, a company has the option to change or go back up till the time that the returns are actually filed. So I guess that this option is always open for all companies as well as our company. So yes, theoretically and practically that option does exist. We felt that at this point in time it was prudent to move to the new tax regime, and we will of course be monitoring various developments very carefully. But to answer your question, all companies do have that option up till the time that the tax returns for 25-26 are actually filed.
Okay. Thank you. I will come back in the queue for some more questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Tushar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my questions are on the line of the CAPEX or the upgrade plans which are going to be in place to enhance buildings, amenities, and also the sustainability features. So are there any plans in the NKP as well as Nirla House to do any?
I mean, as of now, what we are doing annually is routine capital expenditure for maintenance, upgradation, etc. so that we are able to maintain the standard and the level of an A-grade asset for international licensees, for international clients, such as our existing clients. So we don't have anything special or specific to say. We will continue to do whatever CapEx we need to do to ensure that the park is continues to run at a level which is to our satisfaction as well as to the satisfaction of the licensees.
Okay, sir. And the other question that I had is on the the concentration risk that JP Morgan has So, you know, 40% of the gross rentals comes from the JP Morgan, and also the next year, the lock-in year will be ending for the JP Morgan. So please throw some light on that.
Well, I mean, you know, we are aware of the potential concentration risk or whatever one can term this as, but we do feel that we have multiple licensees with strong balance sheets, and we have no reason to look at diversification without any concrete or tangible reason. If the license agreements, the commercials, and other and the other points, agreed points in the license agreements are being executed as per the agreements, we don't want to really look at changing or diversification for the sake of it. Some of these balance sheets, including JP Morgan, are very, very strong and very, very positive, and we do believe that based on the track record in NKP of the last 16, 17 years, actual exits from NKP have been very few. I mentioned there were only two, and the specific reasons for that. So we do believe that the majority of the licensees, including JP Morgan, are here for the long term, and unless we have very specific and clear reasons to believe otherwise, we don't really want to get into changes and diversification for the sake of it, which have other issues, which can come with other issues as well, you know. So we don't see the need to change anything very significantly now. Thank
you. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sejal Dave, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ms. Dave, are you there? As there is no response, I take the next question from the line of Satinder Singh from Eon Infotech Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Yes, because mentioned that the repair capex is about 30 crores per annum. Does all of this go to the P&L or is a part of this capitalized, please?
No, that there is some part of this or a significant part of this which is capitalized as well.
So in our modeling, so it would it be fair to assume that 10 to 15 CR would be the component that goes to the P&L and is expensed?
25 crores.
20, sorry?
20.
Okay. Okay, 20 to 25 will be expensed. Okay. And what's the current?
Will be capitalized.
Will be capitalized. Okay. Will be capitalized. Okay. Okay, and what percentage of our now rentals are on an annual increase basis, please?
So, basically we can say that after the exit of JP Morgan... After the exit of Morgan Stanley, the majority of the license agreements that are now being signed are really... with annual escalation. So right now the percentage number will not be very high. It is only the recent ones. But I think if you ask this question again in another year and a half or two, the percentage number will be very high. But it's really a very important factor for us, and we have been able to achieve this now in the last approximately three to four transactions we have signed with existing as well as new licensees. Okay, so basically, from the exit of Morgan Stanley, there are some new licensees, some existing licensees, but the majority of the transactions are we are trying to get these annual escalations with both. So yes, but I think to give you a significant number in terms of percentages, you'll have to wait for a year or two.
Okay, and a couple of suggestions. One is, I think it would help if the slide could be put up in terms of the number of occupiers at NKP, the breakup sector-wise, the country of origin of the occupiers. So I think that does give some flavor of sectoral concentration risk or other things. This is a standard template that most of the property companies or REITs
yeah.
put up. Okay, so just a suggestion. Okay,
that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. The final suggestion, actually, sir, you did mention in the opening remarks that on restructuring, okay, there's nothing new to add, and one respects what you've said. Okay, it's just a suggestion. Okay, from our side. Okay.
Yes.
The suggestion is that okay for a number of quarters. Actually, I went back right up to the first. Ever investor call you had in June 21. So today is the 19th call. Okay. So, and this is the issue which has been live right from the first call. So, we understand you had very cogent reasons for holding on to the old tax regime, because of the advantages it offers in terms of avoidance of double taxation on the dividend income. And you have justified it very well in the past on the grounds that it was that till FY25 we will anyway covered because of the MAT credit, which would have been lost. Okay, so we were, while paying a higher tax optically, we were not suffering on any ground because the credit would have been otherwise lost. And thereafter, we've had time till September 26. Okay, so the great arguments you've given in terms of why not the move to the older tax regime, but it was linked to the fact that we were saying that there's a discussion on restructuring. So there are various lines options that we have, and we are looking at that, and this decision is contingent on that. Now that we've decided on a tax regime, I think some decision or some clarity in terms of where we are heading, delisting or a REIT or something else, okay. Some clarity would have gone in, because this decision that you've announced is contingent on those various tracks that we had opened. As an investor, one gets the feeling that probably REIT seems to be a lower consideration today. It will help the investor community to get more clarity. So maybe in the next call, at some point in time, it will help us to understand the rationale why we've now taken this decision now when we had 3-4 quarters to decide. Okay, so just a suggestion, okay, from investor point of view, in the spirit of constructive feedback.
No, thank you. So your point is greatly appreciated, and your comments and your suggestions are highly valued, and it's not that we ignore them. We do evaluate all these comments very, very significantly and very seriously. They are appreciated, and we are thankful for your comments. So yes, we will take this into account, as we always do.
Thank you. All the best, and must acknowledge that we've given some feedback regarding reset of valuations. In the latest annual report, we've seen that the management has recognized that feedback and tried to act on it. While we still feel there's the actual valuation might still be higher, but I think thank you very much for acknowledging the feedback. Thank you. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Laksh Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
We had a 26 crore cash outflow from investing activity. Does this refer to the maintenance cost, sir?
Can you say that again, please? We had a cash outflow of
26 crores, sir, for the first half of this year. Is this the maintenance cost, sir?
Capex.
Hello.
Okay. This is routine capex.
Yeah.
Okay. And this figure you have mentioned, that it will be approximately 30 crores on a consistent basis.
Yes, please.
Okay, That was my first question, sir. And my next question, sir, what is the status of Birla House, sir? And how is the negotiation going with the various tenants out there?
So, when we have anything significant to say, we will definitely let you know. But as you know, there's on outside are 12 owners, and it's a little bit not so straightforward and easy with 12 owners. Right now, the building is, we have licensed practically all of our area. And yes, once we have anything significant to say, we will tell you, but you must also keep in mind that there are 12 different owners. Right now, the building is significantly licensed area belonging to NL. And when we do have anything significant to say, of course, we will let you know immediately as soon as we need to. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. My next question, sir. So we have a cash of approximately 300 crores in the first 6 months of this year. So, sir, is this going to be the normal, new normal going forward with generation of 300 crores every half? Or is there any one time to it?
Sorry, we couldn't hear you well. Can you please repeat your question?
We have.
Sir, we have cash of 300 crore in our balance sheet as of the first half. So, is it going to be the new normal, sir, or is there any one time here?
One time, what? Sorry, your voice is...
This 300 crores of cash generation was never being generated for the 6 months, sir. And this time, it's showing 300 crores in our balance sheet. So, is it going to be like the new normal for us? Or is there any one time to it?
So, the dividend that was paid has been after this.
So out of this, dividend payment has gone out. So after this, we will be left with approximately 200 crores.
So this is before the final dividend.
Cash flow from financing activities shows that this is after paying of dividend, sir, this amount. Of 900 crore, it's been shown that it is after.
Dividend is, out of this amount, dividend is paid in Q3.
Okay. But in financing, it is showing 99 crore of outflow already, sir. Dividend paid.
Yeah, that includes some of the dividend for the earlier period also.
Okay. I didn't get clarity on this question, sir. Because 199 crore cash and cash equivalents and the bank balance is 97 crore, which is approximately 290 odd crores. And how much of this was dividend of last year?
We can't give any.
Just give us one second.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'll be.
Yeah. Just give one
So, if you see in the balance sheet, the dividend that is payable is part of the liability. That's why the cash balance that you're seeing is before the dividend being paid. The dividend was actually paid in the first week of October.
Okay. And this liability is the entire 99 crore, sir?
Sorry, come again.
This amount which is not been deducted from the cash and bank for the purpose of dividend, how much is that amount, sir? Is it the entire 99 crore which is to be paid?
Okay.
My last question, sir. Now we being shift to the new tax regime, is it right to assume that the plan towards the REIT is completely rolled out because the taxation benefit of the REIT cannot be availed in this new tax regime, sir?
We don't really want to comment on that at this point in time. We have moved to the new tax regime for reasons we thought would for the right reasons. With regard to the REIT and what exactly is going to transpire, it's a little bit premature to comment on that right now. So yes, we felt this was the right thing to do for the company at this point in time. So we have moved to this new tax regime. And as we have said in the past, once there is anything to say significantly, we will, of course, we are going to tell you. We don't want to say whether a move to REIT will be ruled out or not ruled out. It's a little bit premature or not really appropriate to comment on that at this point.
One more, my last question, sir. Now we will be generating approximately 150 crores or more cash in the second half. So it will be like more cash coming in now with lower tax rate. What will be the sustainable dividend, sir, going forward?
Well, we don't want to comment on what the sustainable dividend will be. As we have said, we felt it was appropriate at this point in time to transition from the old tax regime to the new tax regime, and we hope that, as we said earlier in the call, we hope that this transition will benefit the company as well as the shareholders as well. So we just have to take a look and see what best we can do from this transition. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. These are my only questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Sagar from Nirlon Limited for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for participating in this earnings con call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you very much, everybody, once again. Thank you. Thank you.
On behalf of Nirlon Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.